As you may well know, tonight at 8:45 Eastern Time, we'll find out who the recipient of this year's Nobel Peace Prize is. Now, naturally, when we heard this week that the Ethiopian government had nominated an Australian for the prize, Catherine Hamlin, we were keen to talk to her ahead of the announcement. Dr. Catherine Hamlin is 90 years old. She's been working in Ethiopia for 55 years after travelling there with her late husband, Reg. Her work is about setting up and maintaining the Addis Ababa Fistula Hospital that has changed the lives of an estimated 40,000 women. Anyway, we got in contact with Catherine's organisations and we were told that she wasn't doing any interviews, except she does like the ABC and she'd make an exception for a particular journalist, Africa correspondent Martin Cudahy. So here's Martin with an interview with Catherine Hamlin, especially recorded just a day or two ago for us.
Every time I ask you a question or we're even chatting, you bring it back to the women. It's all about them for you, isn't it?
Yes, well, I really feel they've been neglected, they've been forgotten because they hide away. They're ashamed of their misery, they're ashamed of their incontinence, and they become social outcasts very quickly if they get a vaginal fistula. So they become outcasts themselves. They put themselves away, hide away in a little lean-to or another little house somewhere in the village, away from the rest of the village, so that people won't see them. And they creep out at night to get water from the well or to the river nearby, or wash their clothes, what they've got. They keep themselves completely away from the rest of the society because nobody understands that this is a mechanical injury and it's not a disease. They think they've got some disease because they're smelling. It's a terrible, terrible injury for a woman to get this when she's poor, when she's got no money to have a wardrobe of clothes to change into, and she has nothing in this world because she's been reduced to abject poverty and loneliness. And she may be young, she may be only in her late teens or early 20s, or she may be an old woman that's had three or four normal deliveries and then the baby has got stuck in the fourth or fifth pregnancy because the baby is the problem, not the pelvis. And my husband used to say it's either the passage, which are the bones of the pelvis that the baby has to negotiate to get through, or the passenger at fault. And if the passenger, the baby, is in a bad position, of course she can't deliver without help, without some skilled intervention by a trained midwife or a trained doctor. So these women have nobody like that. We have to try to wake up people to the need of getting these people somewhere where they can be looked after. So that's what we're doing here, mending these holes.
And I think the staggering statistic that you mentioned to me is 40,000 surgeries. That's incredible.
Well, we've been here a long time, and we've got a very dedicated staff, and we've had doctors coming and going. We've had these last doctors for some time now. We are very, very grateful because nobody really wants to do this sort of work. It's not glamorous, and it's not publicised, and people don't know about it. But it's something very, very important for a woman's life. I think one day we hope that we'll eradicate fistula problems from Ethiopia if we can train enough midwives. They're all taken from the countryside high schools, so they won't gravitate to the city. Like most of the midwives before we set up our college would all be working in Addis Ababa. But our college girls are taken from the high schools of the countryside and they go back to their same areas. A lot of the provinces have different languages, and they will go back to that area where they can speak the language, or they will certainly be in the countryside somewhere where they can help.
Now, you keep talking about your staff, and I've noticed since I've been here that there are more smiles here than any other hospital. It's a great atmosphere here.
Well, we are a great atmosphere, but I don't really know why. It's really a very nice place to work, and our staff are very happy. Because we give them good salaries and we look after them and we really love them and they love their work. If they love their work, they will be happy.
And something else I've learnt is that the staff call you Umhai.
Yeah, well, it's just a word for mother, you know, Harek, and they call me that, and I suppose because I'm old and yeah, I've been here so long.
Are you the matriarch, do you think?
Well, I don't know what I am. I'm just an old woman who's not doing much now.
I think you're selling yourself a bit short, and because you have been nominated for a Nobel Prize.
Yes, well, I'm excited about that, but I don't think I'm going to get it. However, just to be nominated is a great honour. Of course, if I did get it, I would try and spend it mostly in looking after the hospital and doing things that we need. We need to look after our midwives. We need to make their clinics really very well equipped, and we need to build a house for each one to live in. They can't live in a village shack just nearby, but they have to have a nice house. So we haven't got round to that yet.
What was your reaction when you were told that you had been nominated?
Well, I was excited. I'm very excited, but I thought, well, there are so many very bright people who are probably ahead of me. But I think even just getting a mention is some honour.
You've spoken about your desire to eradicate fistula from Ethiopia. How would you like to be remembered? Would you like to be remembered as perhaps a pioneer who started Ethiopia down on that trail?
Well, I would think my husband really was the one that had all the vision to begin with. He wanted to build a hospital for these women. We only came on a contract with the government for 3 years. But in those 3 years, we got a lot of fistulas coming down because they heard that there was some doctor that would help them. And they made fantastic journeys, some even walking for months. He was the one that had the vision, and I, of course, was excited too because I was enjoying the work. We got a lot of fistulas coming in the first few years because there was a huge backlog.
And you and your husband decided to stay on?
Yes, we did. We kept renewing our contract with the government, and they were pleased that we were doing this work because it was taking their strain off their health programs because they were helping the people of Ethiopia.
There was one other question. The donors in Australia.
The donors. Mm. Australia's been a wonderful support to us over the years. We've had two trusts. We've got the original trust did a lot of good work for us. We've got another very dynamic trust set up, who have got a shop now in Tarramurra where they sell products from Ethiopia that we send them, and they are raising huge amounts of money. They've got very active young people on the trust who are enthusiastic and who are really making a difference and giving us a lot of money. And we need a lot of money. I've forgotten what the annual budget is. I think it's 4 to 5 million US dollars a year. To run all the, we've got five regional hospitals, small hospitals, and the big hospital here to run, and the midwifery college to run.
Finally, my colleagues in Sydney spoke to Lucy Perry, the CEO of the new trust, and she said that you're terribly understated and that you are a living treasure and a living legend.
She's exaggerating, I'm sure, but she's the most dynamic girl, and she's very touched by the plight of these women, and we're very grateful for all she's doing because she's raising a lot of money, and she's the live wire, really, of the little shop we've set up.
I think the point of what I was trying to say is that you are a living legend and you're terribly understated, so I just wanted to say thank you.
This is how I want to be because I'm not a public sort of person and I hate speaking in public, but I have to do it sometimes. Thank you very much, Sir Martin.
Thank you so much.
We thank you for coming, and we thank you for your interest and what you've done.
Oh, 90-year-old Dr. Catherine Hamlin talking to the ABC's Africa correspondent, Martin Cudahy. So tonight at 8:45 Eastern Time, we'll know if she's Australia's first ever recipient of the Nobel Peace Prize. But either way, she's more than worthy of our admiration. If you'd like to make a donation to the Hamlin Fistula Ethiopia organisation, the website is hamlin.org.au. And there's also a daytime telephone number there too, 02-9440-7001. 02-9440-7001.